Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here again tonight. We've got another good show for you. We've got Stephen Reed from Stampede Blue. We're going to talk about some of the defensive linemen in this draft. We're going to talk. He scouted them for our draft guide, and we were going to get to him and find out what he thinks and what he saw and who he likes and so on and so forth. We've also got another prospect interview. We've got Brad North on from Northwestern. He's an interior offensive lineman, so that's a good listen too. That's going to be good. He's going to come on here in just a little bit, and you guys will get to enjoy that as well. So first, Steven, what's up, man? Thanks for joining me, brother.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk maybe one of the least sexy positions in the NFL draft, the defensive line.
I don't know. We call it least sexy.
Don't tell the defensive lineman I said that, though.
Right. They call it, you know, or they don't think that it's sexy, but you know what? There is a lot of guys on this list that the Colts could use. I mean, the Colts definitely need some defensive line help. And whether they're talking about, you know, how high in the draft they're talking about getting them, you know, that's another story as well. But let's talk about these guys. Let's leave like Vita Vey, Daron Payne, you know, some of those guys. Let's leave them out of this conversation for right now. Let's talk about some of the guys who are going to be coming in the back ends of the draft, you think. Who are some of the guys that are not going to be big names that are going to come off the board late in day three that you think could really offer some real value for a team?
I think some of the it just really depends on what you need. Because at the later ends of the draft, you've got some defensive tackles and interior defensive linemen that are probably more scheme-specific than some of the guys near the top. For example, like maybe a guy like Kendrick Morton out of Miami would be a good example of that. Like, he would be really good in a three-technique situation like the Colts will have, the 4-3 three-technique defensive tackle. You know, but a guy like Deidrin Sanat is probably going to be more like a one technique or a nose tackle. And so these guys are guys that are probably going to go in that day three range. You've got some guys that are kind of tweeners. There's Breland Speaks out of Ole Miss is a guy that is really can be explosive. He's got a lot of versatility in terms of where he played at Ole Miss. They had him standing up a couple times. They had him rushing from the edge. They had him lined up at the defensive tackle position. And so he's got a lot of scheme versatility, but that's a guy that's kind of a nutcase. And so he's got some maturity issues. He got kicked out of a game. I want to say it was the Mississippi game, the Egg Bowl game, just for doing stupid stuff. Then you've got guys that are like guys like Andrew Brown out of Virginia. He's probably just going to be your general defensive tackle that makes it on hustle and heart more than anything else. One guy that I wasn't real high on that a lot of people are really high on is B.J. Hill out of NC State.
There has been a lot of talk about him lately.
Yeah, and when I scouted him, I was a little confused as to it because you see him and he played next to Bradley Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Chubb, as we all know, is probably the best pass rusher in this class, overall pass rusher. And so he would always get that double team taken off. And you notice that on film. When you're watching B.J. Hill, you can't help but notice Bradley Chubb. And so you've got Chubb constantly taking the double team or constantly taking the double team in the chip. And so you've got this guy that is lined up on the interior, and he's pretty much only taking on the guard. Every once in a while, the center will come over. Or, for example, he's only taking on the center because they've got a double-team Chubb. And he didn't impress me. Now, I will say he's probably more of a one-gap defensive tackle. And NC State ran that 4-3 defense as well. So it's kind of more or less what he does is what he's been taught to do in college. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a bunch of guys that are late guys. Fully Fatukasi out of UConn is another guy that is probably going to be either a one technique and a 4-3, or he's going to be a 3-4 defensive end. It's just you got a lot of guys that are big but don't offer a lot in pass rush. And for what the Colts are looking to do, looks like they're trying to focus on that speed, that initial quickness and get off to collapse a pocket from the interior, more so than they're looking for those guys that are just going to eat up blockers like some of the other bigger tackles are.
Yeah, interesting. There's some other guys that we've heard, like you said, or like you mentioned B.J. Hill, but there's some other guys like Puna Ford. You know, there's a handful of guys that are kind of in that early day three to day two range. And I think that a lot of them are going to come off the board around that time. One of the guys that I've heard all over the place, most of it has been high, but there's been a little bit that's, you know, kind of a, you know, a late day two, early day three range. And I think that people are kind of split and there's no real middle ground on them is Harrison Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would be one of those people that is, I'm more down on him than I think other people are.
Hmm.
I looked at Harrison Phillips tape and I just wasn't really impressed. Like he's kind of like your typical Stanford defensive tackle. Like David Perry was, like he's there.
Right.
And he does his job. He's relatively technically sound. He doesn't impress you. He doesn't get a lot of good pass rush. You know, let me
what are
my paper here.
What are some of the guys that are talking so highly about him? What are they seeing that's making them think that, in your opinion?
You know, and I don't know. Like he hustles really hard. He's got good recognition skills. So I mean, that's that. He's got good strong hands. In terms of just being able to disengage the blockers and recognize those inside runs. But, you know, he's not real big. You know, he's what, 6'3", 290, 300 pounds.
Hmm.
So he's not that big, bulking defensive tackle that can take on two blocks. He pretty consistently got dominated on whenever they put a double team on him. You know, he could plant his foot in the ground and hold his ground for a little bit, but as soon as somebody else came by, it was done. Like, he's too small to be a nose tackle, and he was really inconsistent. There are games that he played really well. You know, he seemed to play well against Notre Dame, but he played down against UCLA and USC.
Hmm.
You know, and so it was one of those things where he really is, depending on which games you watched, you really don't know what you're going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a box of chocolates, really.
Jeez. Our daily Forrest Gump drop.
Yeah, well, you know, I do what I can. Football at Alabama, right? So
I think
we're good on
that. I think
that.
It was Andrew that dropped that one time. I don't know if he understood it, but I caught it on there. There's another guy that I'm interested in, Steven Richardson out of Minnesota. What did you see from him?
Steven Richardson?
Mm-hmm.
I did not scout Steven Richardson for this.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Interesting.
No, he was not on my list of the top 25.
Interesting. I'd be interested to see kind of what you had on him. He's, I think he's a pretty tough cookie. There is a lot of guys, though, here. Now, let's talk about some of the upper echelon guys. Who are the guys that you think are, like, let's talk about technical. Who's the guy who's going to out-technique with hands and footwork against some of these big offensive linemen that he's going to be taking on in the interior?
Well, I think when you look at technique, you're looking at the Alabama guys. You know, Jerron Payne and Deshaun Hand are probably your better technicians. You know, Vita Vea is also a solid technician in terms of his hand usage, his ability to be aware and read and react to what's going on. Yeah, those are the main guys that I would look at. Maurice Hurst is actually, I was actually pretty impressed with the way that he did things as well.
Hmm. Interesting. So he wasn't more of the mauler, because I think that he's been kind of billed as a guy who's going to take up blockers and, you know, kind of a more of a 3-4 interior offensive line or defensive lineman. Is that not what you got from him? Do you get him more of a
with more? Yeah, with Maurice Hurst Jr., I think after watching the film and seeing his sizes compared to the position that they had him playing nose, and they were running more, they're playing nose in one technique. So they were having him taking up blockers, which he could do. He was solid at the point of attack, but it seemed like he was pretty good off the snap. And so it was one of those things where I felt like he was probably better, or he's probably better suited in that even man front and playing as that three technique in the 4-3. Mm-hmm. And I think that he could really excel in that position. I really do think that Michigan played him out of position as a nose tackle, because he just doesn't have the size to eat up the blockers. And even though he was limited in terms of that pass rush, he still was able to get that good first step. And he's a high motor hustle player that you really like, that could, I really think that he could be, I don't want to say Aaron Donald, because like that was an exceptional talent, but he's got the ability to be a dominant defensive tackle if he's in the right scheme.
Hmm. Interesting. Cause he's definitely one of the guys that I think a lot of people have, you know, some high hopes for with all of his medicals coming back and everything else. Let's talk about your top five, you know, kind of here, and not to put them in order. I definitely don't want you to do that right now. But who's in your top five? Who's not your top two, but you think could possibly be making a run in the end, as far as what kind of a pro they turn out to be, could end up being one of the best couple guys out of this draft as far as a redraft scenario?
All right, so guys that are not in my top two, you know, I think Maurice Hurst could be a guy that could be a dominant player, along with, I was actually really high on RJ McIntosh, which was a little surprising. I didn't expect that.
He's out of Miami, right?
Yeah. He's out of Miami. I think as a three technique, like disruptive defensive tackle, like he got great interior pass rush. He had a good first step, and he was constantly hustling and getting around and had his eyes up and, you know, good movement. Like in terms of twists and stunts, he had good movement and could duck that shoulder and get in there and get around that offensive guard. So that's something that you kind of look for from a defensive tackle. You know, he's not great at the point of attack, but as a three technique defensive tackle, that's kind of not what you want. You mm-hmm. want a guy that's going to shoot that gap and right. disrupt the plays in the backfield, versus somebody that's just going to stand there, stand up a bunch of guys and allow the linebackers to run and get it. Like that's what the Colts are looking to run. He kind of fits out perfectly. And a guy that the other one that I feel like I'm torn on because he's, can be inconsistent, but it's Deron Payne out of Alabama. You see games like the national championship game, and he just crushes it. Like he was a force against that Georgia offensive line. And then you see other games and you go, this isn't the guy that I just saw. Or this isn't the guy that I saw in the national championship game. What is going on?
Right.
And so that's one of those things where you kind of scratch your head at and you just kind of are like, all right, what's your deal here? Like if he is on, the dude can be dominant. But if he, for some reason, his head's somewhere else, no, he's done. Like as soon as the blocker gets on it, they can wash him out.
Mm-hmm. Who's some of these guys you think are better suited for maybe a five tech?
In terms of a five tech, you know, you're looking at guys, you know, Let's see. You know, Deshaun Hand would be good at that five technique, that defensive end and a 3-4. You know, another guy. This class really doesn't seem to have a lot of just guys that scream five technique.
Right. I think a couple of the guys are actually kind of masquerading as edge rushers right now, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you. Like, when I looked at some of them, I'm going, all right, like, what are you doing here? Like, for example, Taven Bryant, you know, he could be a 4-3 defensive tackle. He could be a 3-4 defensive end. Like, there's a lot of guys in there that kind of play that role well.
Right.
In that you don't know what they're going to do, which makes the defensive line actually really tough to evaluate, because you don't have guys that are defined roles, or you have guys that they got recruited to a place and they're played out of position, or they played next to guys that they really should have done well, but then they didn't. Like, for example, like NC State, like you had Bradley Chubb. Now you also had Justin Jones, BJ Hill, and Kentavious Street in your defensive line that are all eligible this year. And you're going through and looking at them and going, I don't know where to go with you guys. Like, you all should be doing work right now. But
especially with the group that they had.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have, on their defensive line, they're going to have four guys that are likely to be drafted in a single draft. And so you kind of think that with that kind of talent, you would have seen somebody show up a little bit more, because somebody's getting – there's not enough blockers for that.
Right.
And so somebody is getting single blocked every time, and you just had guys that just were inconsistent and didn't show up.
Right. As we talk about this five tech, now, one of the things that I noticed from a couple of the guys, like especially two Ohio State guys, with Jalen Holmes and Tyquan Lewis, those two, they have some pass rush ability. They just weren't, you know, the bendy type guys on the edge. They weren't running like, you know, the arc, folks, if you're listening and you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be super technical. I hate these terms as much as you guys do, but it's the only way that you can describe it, and I think that's why people use them. But the arc, when you're running that as a pass rusher, trying to take on the tackle, get his outside shoulder, and get into the quarterback, I think that guys like I said, Jalen Holmes and Tyquan, I think those two are better suited as a five-tech defensive lineman, not as a pass rusher, but as a sub-package type guys. There's going to be so many of these guys from along the defensive line, whether they're at edge right now or whether they're at five-tech and three. Some of these guys are going to be difficult to place until their second or third year and kind of see where they fit into that scheme. But one of the guys that the Colts have right now that's kind of in that part of his career, as he has come off of a couple injury situations, he's been around. He last year he played pretty well, but stuff like this continues to happen, and he doesn't get a full season on the field with Henry Anderson. Kind of the crazy crap situation with this last year, but I mean, are there guys in here that the Colts could grab that could take him out of a starting spot, you think? And he may not be a good scheme fit. He might be. I don't really know that right now. We'd have to see him in it. It's way too early, in my opinion, for a young guy like that to be able to determine where he should be pigeonholed into a scheme. That's just my opinion, mainly because I don't know. But I'm curious to your thoughts on him. Where does he fit? And is there a guy that you think is going to come out of this draft that could possibly, you know, be the driving force by getting him out of the rotation?
Yeah, Henry Anderson really is a tough guy to pick. I was really excited when he got drafted.
I've loved him so far.
It's just been unfortunate.
Right.
Just how he's been injured and kind of the fluke injuries that have happened, especially this past year. I'm not sure how his scheme fit is for this defense, since they're probably going to drop Jabal Sheard down to the defensive end. They're going to need a rush end, and that's not Henry Anderson.
Right.
You're looking at maybe a one technique for Henry Anderson. You can maybe put him at the three technique and hope. But I think that he doesn't have the what Ballard and Eberflus is looking for. That guys that I think that might be able to step in that could be available. If you're looking at guys that are going to step in immediately, then I would say probably Taven Bryant or Maurice Hurst.
Hmm.
As you can tell, I'm a huge fan of Maurice Hurst. From
right.
Watching the tape. Taven Bryant, I think, in the right scheme, could just, again, be dominant. He's my second rated.
He's impressively athletic. I mean,
yeah,
it's like way noticeable.
One of the first things I wrote down is I was like, this dude is athletic and explosive off the snap.
Yep.
Like he's got a high molder. He can duck his shoulder. He can get skinny. Kind of what you're talking about with that arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the broom drill, as we always called it.
Right.
And it's just, you know, he could get in there as a defensive tackle and unseat Henry Anderson if that's where they end up moving Anderson to, which is probably the best spot for him.
Hmm.
You know, Maurice Hurst is the same way. A guy that I really liked that gets a little bit of power because he's a small school guy was Nathan Shepard.
I was going to ask you about him next. I'm glad you went there.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think that if the goal really is to have this be a three-year rebuild, and even if this is year two of it, giving him a season to kind of learn as kind of a redshirt year, I think would be really beneficial for him in terms of his long-term development. Because this guy, when you watched his games, and again, there's only a handful of games that you could watch on him because he played at Fort Hays State. And so you can't really get a lot of film on him, but the few games I was able to watch him, he has got such natural snap anticipation, which is something that translates no matter what. And that's what, like, he dominated that small school atmosphere in that whole scene. He was just crushing people, always collapsed the pocket, had great motor, and he has so much potential. But again, he's so raw.
Hmm.
And he played against small school guys, and so you don't really have a good barometer of where he is versus the talent. Now, he did show well at, I want to say it was the Senior Bowl or one of the college All-Star games.
Right.
After the fact, before he broke his hand. And so he was able to at least get on people's radar at that point, which is huge. But he needs a year to kind of grow into it. But if they have that time, and they really do think this is another year or two out before they are perennial contenders, he would be just an absolute steal in the fourth round or later if they can develop him.
Hmm. Interesting. And that's what you obviously that you're hoping for, to see finally some development from this Colts coaching staff that we haven't seen in years. So is it safe to say that Hurst and Brian, you said that Brian already was number two. Is Hurst your top dog?
No, Vita Vey is my top.
Vita Vey is your top. So tell us why he's your favorite.
He is undoubtedly the best defensive tackle in this draft. And he's a nose tackle, so he's not really somebody that the Colts are going to look for. Now, if you're looking for, like, a Colt-centric one, you know, Vita Vea would, you know, you could slide him in as a one technique, and he would just crush it because that's what you want him to do is eat up double teams. And he literally would ragdoll guys, college offensive linemen. I want to say it was Chris Shepard that we were talking to the other day, and he said, you watch Sam Jones tape from Arizona State, and he does great all these games, and then you see him against Vita Vea, and he just gets thrown like he's like a little kid's toy.
Right.
And Vita Vea did that to a lot of people, and the guy is just an absolute beast on the inside. But, yeah, Vita Vea is my top defensive tackle in this class. But then once you start getting in, like I've got different tiers on where I think that guys are. Like Vita Vea is in my top tier. And then that second tier, I've got guys like Hurst and Payne and Brian. The tier after that, it's like McIntosh and Settle. And then I've got a big tier right there with like Deshaun Hand, Nathan Shepard, Nadi. You've got, you know, Breland Speaks, Harrison Phillips, all these guys that are just kind of in that same tier where they're not really like, they don't really push themselves out, but like they're all good players that will get drafted undoubtedly.
Right.
But if they go to the right team, then they could be able to become starters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they go to the wrong team, then they're going to flush out. And that's going to be the last to hear of it unless they get picked up by players.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk before we get out of here. Who's the guy that nobody's talking about that you saw that is going to make a real push in the NFL?
I would say probably if you're looking at like a late round guy that I think could really show up well in the NFL, probably somebody like Kendrick Norton or, you know, to a lesser extent, I think Deshaun Hand is going to be a like good starter for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for like a Pro Bowl guy, you know, there's probably only a handful of guys that I think really kind of have that. Breland Speaks is a guy that has all the potential in the world, but he's a head case again.
Right.
like you never know what you're going to get with him.
There's a couple in this draft.
You get a guy that could crush it, or you get a guy that could just not show up.
Yeah. And
I really like RJ McIntosh in terms of like a guy that nobody's really talking about. Like mm-hmm. most people have him in like the third, fourth round range. And I think he could go based on like what I saw of him. If he's again in the right system, I hate prefacing that, but so many of these guys are scheme specific.
Right.
But if he's in the right system, that guy can crush it. You know, he could really break down and cause havoc in the pocket. Like, because what a lot of people don't realize is having that interior pressure on a quarterback and having it be in his face causes way more problems for a quarterback than having some guy looping around off the edge. Because the quarterback gets antsy if he sees it. And quarterbacks are always looking downfield. So you've got a guy that right there in the face. If RJ McIntosh shows up and he's a guy that, you know, people are talking about, but not in terms of being like a reliable NFL starter
mm-hmm.
for a long time. I think that he could come in and play that role, that early down role, or as a defensive end, and then slide inside to be a, you know, three technique defensive tackle, or they could just straight put him at defensive tackle the whole time and he could just penetrate and disrupt plays. He's a guy that I think not a lot of people are talking about that could really, really do something.
And I'm interested because these are the guys that we're going to inevitably hear day three, you know, throughout the entire day. And people are going to be like, let me look this guy up, because some of these guys are going to come in. They're not going to be known in 3 years from now. There's inevitably going to be somebody who stands out from the bunch and is just like, how's this guy a fifth round project, you know, coming out and he's mm-hmm. dominating right now. So I think that's exciting for everybody. I think everybody likes seeing that from multiple positions. But Steven, thank you for jumping on the show tonight to talk about these guys, man. We appreciate it. You've made us all smarter on the position. So let's hope that the Colts make the right decisions here coming up and try to find some of these guys, like you said, that are scheme specific, but let's hope that they're that good that they can get in there and play, because the Colts certainly need it up front. This is definitely a weird transition year for the defensive line as we're going forward. Yeah. So thanks, man.
Absolutely. It's tough. But going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, they're totally different players.
Right.
And so, yeah, people need to understand and know that it might take a year.
Yeah, and it very well could. And I think that most of us should be expecting that. I think that, you know, last year there was different expectations because of different reasons. This year, same thing. New expectations because all the rebuild is going to go on in different areas of the team and of the defense and so on and so forth. So, Steven, once again, thanks, man, for joining me.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great one.
Absolutely. You guys hang tight for just a second after the break. We're going to have on Brad North, interior lineman from Northwestern. Welcome back to the Colts Cast, folks. We are here with Brad North, center from Northwestern University. Brad, thank you for jumping on the line with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you hail from Allen, Texas. High school is kind of a big thing down there. Coming out of that kind of environment to Big Ten, how was that transition? Was that, you know, fairly easy? I mean, did it seem like the similar thing? Because, like I said, it is so big time in Texas. There's just nothing but football. That is life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely prepared me for the next level. And, you know, being in an environment like Allen, like, I mean, I don't know, like, how familiar you are with it, but, you know, we love our football, and, you know, we spent $60 million on a football stadium, and I got to play in that my senior year. And so it was just a one-of-a-kind experience, and I feel like just, like, all that, like, all the experiences I had, like, while playing there and, like, playing in, like, a talent-rich state like that against, like, really good competition helped my road to get up here. And, you know, like, it definitely made the transition a lot easier than probably some others might have had.
Right. And then not only that, but as soon as you get to Northwestern, you're playing. You played, what, 3 games in your freshman year, and obviously that just built and built. Now, you played primarily center. Is guard something that you think is going to be an option for you in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I played it a little bit. I played a couple games at guard, actually. And, I mean, I'm comfortable enough with it that, you know, I feel confident playing it. So, I mean, honestly, whatever they need me to do, I'll go do it. I'll go play tight end if they need me to, or they need me to be a quarterback. You know, I can throw a ball about 10 or 15 yards.
Do you have a preference between the two?
I mean, again, I whatever they want me to play, but I mean, I've been playing like primarily center for the last couple of years, so I feel a little more comfortable with that one than I would at others.
Mm-hmm. So you guys go 10-3 last year at Northwestern. The Big Ten, I tend myself to trust offensive linemen that come out of the Big Ten. That's just kind of the way that, you know, me being here in the in Midwest, you know, it really feels like that seems to be some of the ground and pound, the maulers and stuff. How would you classify yourself as far as a lineman, like a technician, or would you consider yourself more of a mauler?
I mean, I probably could honestly consider myself more of a technician. I think that, like, honestly, being kind of a, I don't want to say undersized, but I mean, I'm not 6'7 or 6'8, and I don't weigh over, you know, 320 pounds. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, I would just consider, I feel like the technique aspect of it, if I can just really perfect my craft as best as I can, then it gives me a slight edge over those who, you know, just might be really good at moving somebody from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm. What has kind of your philosophy as far as that, the technician part of it? You, like you said, you're not a 320 pound guy. You're not 6'5", 6'6". You've had to kind of learn your way through this. Has that been something that you felt like maybe was even self-coached, or just something that you knew that you were always going to have to do in order to be successful? And then obviously, you know, you're not a small guy either. So working in the interior, you get to see a lot of the best defenders. How does that, has it helped you with gaining leverage on guys as far as keeping them out of the pocket?
Yeah, I'd say like that's a very good way of putting it, is just like keeping it, like having my own leverage. I have natural leverage because I'm a little shorter than everybody. But, you know, I think like that's a big part of it, as well as like, you know, being in the weight room and being a strong guy. Like one of my big things is like I had a really strong and like thick legs, and, you know, I had like squatted about 700 something pounds like while I was at Northwestern. So as long as I could stay low and then move my feet, like it helped out with a lot of like the size differentials. Like, I mean, a 300 something pound guy like coming at me, you know, I probably wouldn't be as nervous about it as, you know, others might be.
Right. Who was maybe the best interior defensive lineman that you feel like you faced off in the past few years?
Steven Richardson from Minnesota, easily. He's a, you know, he was a little short, like shorter guy, like, but you know, he was strong as hell, and, you know, he knew how to play football really well. So it was fun getting to play against him, and, you know, over the last couple of years, and I think I'll probably see him on Sundays and next year too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I didn't really have anybody in mind. There's so much turnover through you know, guys leaving a little bit early for the NFL and stuff like that. It seems like guys would kind of rotate in there a lot, but I guess there's been some big names through the Big Ten as well. What would you feel like would be, if you had a choice to be a primarily a run blocker or, you know, a pass protector, what would be your forte?
I mean, I feel really comfortable at, you know, pass protection. You know, it's like something that I like I was speaking about, like perfecting my craft. Like, I'm very technical about it. Like, I like analyze the situation as best I can and just like make my, you know, decision from there. And then, you know, that's just the kind of the best thing you can do as an offensive lineman, is make a decision to go with it. And I mean, if you mess up, you might as well do it 100 miles an hour.
It makes sense, right? I mean, a lot of the successes you guys had at Northwestern, you know, you guys have a running back in Justin Jackson who's gone for 1,000 yards the past 4 years. You guys have a couple of guys, you know, that could run the ball as well. That you know, I think between Jackson and Larkin, you guys got just 1,800 out of them. But you guys were also, you know, you had four receivers in the 400 mark for receiving yards. What would it, I mean, I know you said that protection would kind of be your forte, but if this is the offense, I guess, that you ran in Northwestern, something you feel like you would see a lot of on Sunday, or is it more that you expect to see a wider range of offensive schemes and such, and how do you feel that you could fit into those?
I mean, I'd probably say it's the latter. Like, I feel like, you know, every team has a different scheme or like a different like style of play. And, you know, I guess being at Northwestern, like we try to run a very like up-tempo offense. And so, I mean, what I'd say I bring to the table is, you know, like I'm in really good shape, like for my size, I think. And, you know, like if they need me to get out in space, like I can do that. We did a lot of our outside zone concepts were based on me pulling and like out into the edge and like out in the open field. And so when I get out there, like I know what to do. And like, I know, you know, just like the general, like style, like basically what I'm supposed to do. And so like being out there, like I feel really comfortable and like moving around and knowing my assignment and then, you know, just like making a quick decision and going with it.
And that's kind of the way that the NFL's gone now. I mean, you have to be, you know, especially as an interior lineman, you've got to be good in space to be able to get those guys. Cause there's a lot quicker and more agile guys the further you get out between, from the hashes. So
that's very true.
You've got to be on your toes. And that's extremely important part of an offensive line position that people, I think, don't really understand as well. How were you satisfied with your pro day with the 5.25 40, 23 benches, 28 vertical, 9'2" broad jump, 4.77 short shuttle, and 8.01 three cone? I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad numbers right there. How did you feel about them?
I mean, obviously, like I always wanted to, do better, and you know, like during some of the the testing like I did beforehand and like whatnot, like I tested a little bit better than that, and you know, I'm kind of like a little upset at myself about it, but I can't beat myself over it. You know, like at the end of the day, like they're just numbers, and you know, like I know they hold a lot of weight to some people, but I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never seen an offensive lineman run on a 40-yard dash down the field in a game. So, I mean, as long as you can play football, then I don't think all the other stuff really matters that much.
Right. I think the more of the technical part of it, and you know, kind of that the nice mix of technicality and strength, obviously means a lot. But being able to be athletic enough, like we just spoke about, to get outside and pull, and to be able to take on some of those linebackers and corners, and be able to actually get a piece of them to get your running back some more space. That's all. I think that is the broad spectrum of what a lot of that is for the linemen. What would teams be getting with you if a team wants to take a chance on you in the draft? What are they going to get from you?
I mean, I try to carry the mentality that, you know, I'm like the first guy and the last guy to leave. You know, I'm very dedicated, and I'd probably say persistent too. And I'm also a perfectionist. That's a kind of a lot of adjectives thrown out there, but you know, I love playing the game. I've been playing it for, you know, 15, 16 years. And I mean, in Texas, like we played it, you know, literally all year. Like I remember we did, when I was in middle school, we'd have fall ball. And then during the spring, we'd have spring ball. And then during the winter, we'd have arena football. And then during the summer, we do, you know, like travel league ball too. So it was a lot, like it was just a lot, but you know, at the same time, like you wouldn't do it unless you loved it. You know, like I feel like some people are kind of out there just like looking for a paycheck, and me, I just hope I get an opportunity to keep playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So coming around on that a little bit too, from your pro day, how many teams were there to watch the pro day?
I believe all 32 teams were there.
And did you get any particular interest from any specific teams or anything like that?
You know, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. That was honestly about a few weeks ago, and I've been very busy since then. But
I bet you've got a little bit going on.
Yeah, a little bit. I made a point of like trying to go up and introduce myself to everybody up there, just because, you know, like, I think it's a good sign of leadership, and it's a good sign to them that you know, like I'm comfortable in situations like that. So, yeah, I'd made a point of doing that and, you know, just like thank them for all for coming out and just taking the time to evaluate us. And, spoke a little bit with the Falcons coach, but I also spoke with the Indianapolis guy a little bit too. But, you know, like it was, I'd say it was just like pretty normal for the most part.
That's good. Is there anybody in the NFL now that you kind of model your game after? Anybody that you watch kind of, especially as you mentioned about being a technician, is there anybody that you think has like that hand placement that you kind of want to, that you strive for as you make your next, your leap into the NFL?
I mean, you know, I'm a Texas guy and I'm from Dallas, so I'd probably have to say Travis Frederick. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal center. And in my opinion, the best center in the NFL, but that's just me being a little cowboy biased. That's just my roots, but
that's all right.
No, I mean, like looking at it, to tell you the truth, like Ryan Kelly too. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, and I watched him when he was a center at Alabama, and like he obviously had a lot of success while he was there too. And so, you know, like I feel like looking at it, like everybody has their own little style of play, like, but like for the most part, you know, everybody kind of sticks to the same style, but everybody throws a little own little twist to it. So hopefully I can bring my own little twist to it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you for coming on with me tonight, Brad. It was great to get to talk to you. The best of luck, but we've got a few questions before we head out of here, a lot less serious than what we just went through. So I hope you're ready. All right. If you're on the beach, you wearing a cowboy hat or a fisherman's hat?
Ooh, a fisherman's hat.
All right. Pizza and seafood or pasta and burgers?
Pasta and burgers.
That's what I'm talking about. No seafood for me.
You can't beat a good burger.
No, you can't. That's exactly right. Weather, hot and rainy or cold and sunny?
That's actually kind of a tough one. I probably have to say cold and sunny, just because, first of all, I like the sun, and second of all, you know, fat man weather, you're not going to get it if I need it, but at least I won't be sweating my ass off.
Right. I definitely am on board with that. I cannot stand the heat, man. It drives me absolutely crazy.
I hear you.
All right. Dogs or cats?
Dog, easy.
That's right. Favorite vacation spot you've ever been to?
I'd probably have to say Tulum down in Mexico. A little fun fact is I did my undergrad in education history. And I love the historical aspect of Tulum. Like, it's a fortress city built on top of a 50-foot cliff that overlooks the ocean.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's really cool if you ever get the chance to go. But enough of me nerding out. But, yeah, I'd probably have to say there. It's a beautiful place as well.
Dang, that's crazy. That does sound cool. Absolutely. Brad, best of luck to you, man. I appreciate you coming on the Colts Cast. Brad North, interior lineman. Out of Northwestern. Brad, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
A big thanks out to Stephen Reed and Brad North for jumping on the show tonight. Hope that you guys enjoyed it. As always, make sure you guys are subscribing to the YouTube channel. Hit us up with a rating and review on iTunes. Those are always needed. Obviously, check out the Stampede Blue Draft Guide coming out very shortly here on the 6th. And just about every other time we do this, you know, we enjoy it. We've got some more stuff coming up the rest of the week. Hope you guys will enjoy that as well. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts.
We talking about Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take...